压力超负荷和容量超负荷引起的心脏肥大之间的差异有什么令人振奋的发现？让我们倾听这个有趣的播客。深圳大学刘杰教授就尤杰云博士等人发表在美国生理学杂志《心脏循环生理学杂志》上的最新工作进行了访谈，围绕不同机械应力作用下心肌肥厚在表型、功能和分子水平表现出不同适应性的相关问题，采访了来自复旦大学的论文通讯作者邹云增和吴健博士，及现在同济大学工作的第一作者尤杰云博士。作者利用主动脉缩窄手术制作压力超负荷小鼠模型，以及新近出现的主动脉瓣反流手术制作容量超负荷小鼠模型，然后对这两种心肌肥厚的差异进行了比较研究。这两种肥厚之间的显著差异是什么？哪种肥大看起来更有益？这对心脏肥大的个性化治疗有什么启示？现在让我们一起倾听具体信息。
尤博士，你可否说一下这个研究的主要发现？
可以，谢谢刘教授。这是两类心脏肥大的比较研究，我们使用主动脉弓缩窄术即 TAC 诱导压力超负荷型心脏肥大，并使用新近出现的主动脉瓣反流小鼠模型 GAR 来产生容量超负荷型心脏肥大。我们发现 TAC 或 AR 分别导致代偿性的向心性或离心性肥厚， TAC 模型的浅微化和凋亡更明显，而 AR 模型与血管生成的关系更密切，提示容量超负荷可能是重构表现更好的肥大类型。在 TAC 中， NAPK 激酶家族 Beta-Resin-2、 TNF-alpha、 AKT 和钙相关信号通路被明显激活，但在 AR 中，上述分子生物学信号仅轻度上调或未改变，表明两种肥大类型的分子触发基础存在显著不同。
周教授，是什么原因促使您去比较两类心脏肥大的特点？
我一直都很感兴趣的是，为什么心脏周期不同阶段的机械应力会导致如此明显不同的心肌重构？虽然以往文献对压力超负荷诱导的心肌肥厚有比较多的研究，但是对容量超负荷导致的心肌肥厚的研究还是比较少的。因此，容量超负荷诱导的心肌肥厚的机制及其特征仍然还不明确。此外，在干预方面，许多研究显示，目前一些降压药物如钙拮抗剂等能显著减轻压力超负荷引起的心肌肥厚，但对容量超负荷导致的心肌肥厚则无明显效果，这也有待于进一步研究。我还需要指出的是，通过主动脉瓣损伤手术制作的小鼠主动脉瓣反流简称 AR 模型非常适合与容量超负荷心肌重构的研究，正是这些因素促使我们从形态、功能和分子水平上去研究这两种心肌肥厚模型的差异。
吴博士， AR 小鼠模型是新近开发的新模型，你是否可以具体介绍一下这个模型的制备方法？
没问题。 AR 小鼠模型呢，是在超声引导下通过主动脉瓣破坏手术制作的，简言之，将小鼠颈部皮肤切开，分离右侧颈总动脉，将含有金属丝的塑料导管插入颈总动脉，然后通过导管将金属丝推进刺穿主动脉瓣，直到多普勒超声显示主动脉弓处存在明显的舒张期逆行血流，之后将导管与金属丝一起撤出并结扎右颈总动脉。我们相信这个模型呢，比起其他的容量超负荷模型更适合于容量超负荷的研究。过去对容量超负荷的研究通常使用动静脉瘘模型，但是这种模型呢，在临床中远少于主动脉瓣关闭不全，导致了业界对动静脉瘘模型的临床相关性存疑。此外，动静脉瘘会导致是左右心室均负荷过重，两个心室重构进程会互相干扰，而导致实验偏差。本研究中使用的 AR 小鼠模型呢，其特征在于偏心肥大的显著表型，为研究心脏前负荷表型及其潜在机制提供了有用的模式工具。
周教授，看到这两种肥厚之间存在显著差异，着实令人兴奋。 您是否可以对这项研究的转化医学意义做一些解读？
正如我们的研究结果所显示的那样，虽然心脏承受平均实壁应力类似，但压力超负荷和容量超负荷导致心脏出现明显不同的疾病表型以及病理和分子水平的改变。因此，我们的研究提示，当进行心肌肥厚机制和药物干预研究时，应该根据升高的负荷是在收缩期还是在舒张期做更加细致的考虑。我们的研究也为心肌肥厚的个体化治疗或者说是精准化治疗提供了有益的参考。
吴博士，我留意到你们在文章中列出了该研究的一些局限性，你是否可以就你们或其他研究人员将来进行心脏肥大的研究亟待解决的一些问题提供一些前瞻性的建议？
我想从两个方面来回答。从机制上来看呢，尽管我们的研究已经提出了一些可能在肥厚差异中起作用的信号分子，但容量超负荷引起离心性肥厚的特异性分子开关还有待进一步查明，还需要有更多的功能缺失和功能获得性的实验予以最终证实。从技术上来说呢，如何使用体外实验手段模拟这两种心脏负荷，对于今后的研究来说是一个巨大的挑战。尽管此前有研究通过铅来硅加敏对心肌细胞施加所谓的压力超负荷，但应该考虑到发生在舒张期的铅来与在收缩期的相比可能会产生不同的效果，从而产生明显的实验偏差。解决上述问题将为心肌肥大的基础研究和临床诊疗提供重要的参考。
What fascinating findings are presented on the differences between pressure overload and volume overload induced cardiac hypertrophy? Listen to this intriguing podcast as Professor Liu Jie from Shenzhen University of China interviews the corresponding authors Dr. Zhou Yunzhen and Dr. Wu Jian from Fudan University of China and the first author Dr. Yu Jieyun from Tongjin University talking about their work on different phenotypic, functional, and molecular adaptations in cardiac hypertrophy under different mechanical stresses. The authors utilized a mouse model of pressure overload induced by transverse aortic constriction and a newly developed mouse model of volume overload induced by aortic regurgitation to make a comparative study on the differences between the two types of cardiac hypertrophy. What are the prominent differences between the two types of hypertrophy? Which hypertrophy seems more benign? What are the translational implications for personalized therapeutics for cardiac hypertrophy? Listen now and learn more.
Dr. Yu, could you please highlight the major findings of this study?
Yes, thanks, Dr. Liu. It is a comparative study of two types of cardiac hypertrophy. We use the transverse aortic constriction, namely TAC, to induce pressure-overloaded cardiac hypertrophy, and a newly developed mouse model of aortic regurgitation, that is AR, to induce volume-overloaded cardiac hypertrophy. We found that TAC or AR induced concentric or eccentric compensated hypertrophy respectively. TAC was associated with more significant fibrosis and apoptosis, whereas AR was associated with more significant angiogenesis, suggesting volume overload may be a more favorable type of hypertrophy. The MAPK kinase family, beta-arrestin 2, TNF-alpha, AKT, and the calcium-related signaling pathways were remarkably activated in TAC but slightly upregulated or unchanged in AR. This suggests the molecular triggers of the two models were remarkably different.
Professor Zhou, what makes you intend to compare the characteristics of the two types of cardiac hypertrophy?
I'm always very interested in why mechanical stress occurred in different phases of cardiac cycle would result in such a different cardiac remodeling. Although cardiac hypertrophy induced by pressure overload has been intensively studied, volume overload induced cardiac hypertrophy is sparsely investigated. So the mechanism and the distinct characteristics of the volume overloaded cardiac hypertrophy remain largely unknown. On the other hand, it has been well known that some antihypertensive drugs, such as CCB, effectively attenuate pressure overload induced cardiac hypertrophy. However, these drugs are not effective in the treatment of volume overloaded cardiac hypertrophy. These issues should be answered. I should also recognize that the newly developed mouse model of AR produced by aortic injury operation is very suitable for cardiac remodeling induced by volume overload. These factors prompt us to investigate the morphological, functional, and molecular differences between the two types of cardiac hypertrophy.
Dr. Wu, the AR mouse model is very recently developed. Could you make an introduction of this model to our readers?
Sure. In this model, the AR is induced by surgical dislocation of aortic valves under ankle cardiographic guidance. Briefly, the neck skin of mouse was cut off to isolate the right common carotid artery. A plastic catheter containing a metal wire was then inserted into the carotid artery, and the metal wire was advanced through the catheter to punch the aortic valves until the Doppler ultrasound saw significant diastolic retrograde flow in the aortic arch. After that, the catheter, together with the metal wire, was withdrawn and the right common carotid artery was ligated. We believe this model is superior over other volume overload models. In the past, researchers commonly used an arterial venous fistula model, which happens rarely in humans, therefore bringing down on its clinical relevance. Moreover, an arterial venous fistula confused by ventricular overload that would cause experimental bias due to interplay of the two ventricles. The AR mouse model in this study characterized by the prominent phenotype of eccentric hypertrophy provides a helpful plan for to study a low cardiac phenotype and his underlying mechanisms.
Professor Zhou, it's exciting to see the prominent difference between the two types of hypertrophy. What are the translational implications of this study?
As our study shows, pressure overload and volume overload induce different phenotypes of disease and the different changes in pathological and molecular levels of the heart. Although the hearts are under similar mean wall stress, our findings suggest it should be taken fully into consideration whether the elevated load occurs in systole or diastole period in mechanistic and pharmacological intervention study. Our study also provides some insights for personalized treatment or precision therapy of cardiac hypertrophy.
Dr. Wu, I noticed that you listed several limitations in the manuscript. Could you give some perspectives on what issues needed to be addressed when you or other investigators perform further studies about cardiac hypertrophy in the future?
I would like to answer your question from two aspects. Mechanistically, although our study has raised several signaling effects that may play a role in the difference of hypertrophy, the specific molecular drives of eccentric hypertrophy under volume overload still require further elucidation, and multiple genetic loss of function and gain of function studies are warranted. Technically, how to mimic the two conditions in vitro remains a great challenge. Although previous studies commonly stretched silicon-based plates to impose so-called pressure overload on cardiac myocytes, it should be taken into account that stress in diastole may induce different effects compared with that in systole. Thus, significant experimental bias may occur. To solve those issues would remarkably help both basic and clinical studies on cardiac hypertrophy.